What are the chances we get through this entire podcast without any technical difficulties?
What we did thoughts? It last week.
Yeah, because we were in person last week.
Yeah, true. Well, 2 weeks ago, because I fell behind, because I suck.
Oh, no. That's, girl. No,
guys, I'm just depressed. It's okay. Don't worry about me.
It's fine. You know, my father was asking me, he was like, oh, you know, when am I going to hear the podcast? I was like, I don't know, probably Saturday. He's like, but I'm a patron. And I was like, we haven't recorded it yet, so I don't know what to tell you.
That's my fault.
So, sorry, Dad. It's nobody's fault. Listen.
It's 1,000% my fault.
Depression brain is...
Mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. The winter just makes... It's not even seasonal depression. It's November and December make me violently depressed, and then I'm fine as soon as the holidays are over, and I don't know why. I have, like, the opposite of the excitement that everyone has for the holidays.
Yeah.
Pretty much once Halloween's over, between the end of Halloween and New Year's is when it's bad, but, you know, I'm alive. Anyway, we both got our nose pierced this week.
Yeah, we did. I'm alive. Anyway.
Anyway. Yeah. Well, this is not your first piercing, so.
No, it's not. But it was my first one in a long time. And I got my septum pierced. I have my nostril pierced on the left side. I got that done, like, years ago. But I, like, spontaneously went with my friend. And we got our septums pierced. And it's very exciting.
Oh, you both got them?
Yeah.
I thought it was just you. Because,
no, my friend texted me and was like, I'm really thinking about getting my septum pierced. And I was like, I'll do it with you if you go. And she was like, really? I was like, yeah. And I was like, when do you want to go? She was like, I'll literally go today. And I was like, okay, bet. So then I found a tattoo and, like, piercing shop. It's, like, this woman-owned place near me. And we went. And it was a great time. And that was, what, last week? I think it might have been, like, exactly a week ago now.
Was it?
Maybe.
Maybe. Well, I got mine done Tuesday, and it's currently Friday, so it's been 3 days.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel?
I'm fine. I was shocked because everyone was like, well, first of all, I have a huge needle phobia, but I've been wanting to get my right nostril pierced forever, for, like, over a year now, and I've been wearing, like, one of those stupid fake piercings. It's basically just a jump ring. Mm-hmm. And so I've been wearing one of those for a year. And I decided once Addie got hers done, I was like, it's time. It's time.
Yeah.
And so I did it. Turns out all of my friends have theirs on their left side, and I'm just weird because I wanted mine on the right. I don't know.
It's not weird. It's different. It's funky. It's fresh.
I hate you.
Me too.
But, yeah, and it hurt, like, just the piercing part, and then I haven't had any soreness or any of the crusty shit that everyone says I was gonna get.
Nice.
My OCD brain, though, I, like, pick at my face or, you know, and so yesterday I was picking at my piercing, and then the entire right side of my face just swelled up. Yeah, it was bad. I cleaned it.
Wait, you didn't tell me this.
Yeah. This was after you had texted me and I didn't see that you texted me. It was at like 10 o'clock last night and I was picking at it. And Justin's like, can you please stop? You're gonna get yourself, like, you're gonna get it infected. And I was like, you're right. So I went and I washed it. And then I was like, I think I'm allergic to the cleanser. He's like, no, it's because you were picking at it. That's why the entire right side of your face is swollen.
Oh, Justin, looking out for you.
Yeah. But I've been cleaning it like 6 times a day, so that's probably why. Because, you know, OCD brain, it'd be that.
Yeah.
We should probably just get into this, right?
I guess so.
Get it over with.
Yeah.
I think you'll enjoy this one.
Okay.
Except for the time on it, because it was 2015.
Oh, that's so recent.
It's fine. This is the story of Diane Pransky, and there was an episode of See No Evil about it, which is what I texted you. I was like, I decided not to finish the episode because I found the court transcripts.
Gotcha. But
if you want to watch it, it is season 6, episode 10. I think it's on Hulu. That's where I started watching it. I'm going to tell you a bit about Diane. She was, in 2015, she was 53 years old, and she was living in Lansing, Illinois. She has a daughter named April who had recently moved to Florida for college. She worked as a bartender at a local restaurant called Theo's, and her daughter April said she was definitely the light of the bar.
Cute.
Yeah, so people would go to the bar just to talk to her. Sometimes they wouldn't even order drinks, or sometimes they would order drinks for Diane and drink with her.
Yeah.
So she was just, like, a very good person. She had an amazing boyfriend of 8 years named John Cowlick. I want to say I'm saying that right, but I don't think I am.
Mr. Cowlick. Got it.
No, like...
I'm sorry.
No, it's K-A-W-A-L-E-K.
Cowlick. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, here's Wonderwall. So, I'm so sorry. John says, quote, Diane's outlook on life was unique, always looking for the positive and always making it positive for everybody else. She's amazing, a true diamond, a true jewel.
I love that. That's so cute.
I know. Melt my fucking heart.
I hope someone can say that about me one day.
I say that about you every day.
Cute. When have you ever called me a diamond or a jewel?
Okay, well, this morning when Justin and I came back, I said that I missed Paisley because she's one of my only true friends in this world. And he said, you know, that's not true. And I said, yeah, well, Addie's a close second. So that's like the same thing.
Oh, yeah, you know what? You're right. That is a close second. Very close second. It's basically the same thing.
Right. But being compared to Paisley, being a close second to Paisley is like being called a diamond, okay?
So yeah,
get over yourself.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right. Continue.
I'm kidding. I love you so much.
Are the girls fighting? Oh my god, the girls are fighting.
Oh my god, are we fighting? Our brain cell's too tired. It just forgot what we were fighting about.
I love you too, by the way.
What? Oh, I love you. I don't remember saying that, but I say it so often that I feel like it just comes out and I don't remember. Anyway. So, back to John and Diane. So, they were together for 8 years, as I said, but they still lived in separate homes.
Mm-hmm.
And on September 17th, 2015, Diane closed up the bar around 10:30 p.m. She called John to let him know she would be calling to say goodnight a little later than usual because she needed to run to the store before going home. I think at that point on the phone, John said that he was already in bed, but he was going to stay up just so he could say goodnight to her when she called back. Mm-hmm. But cute. Unfortunately, John did not hear from her again that night.
No.
When Diane got home, a large man was standing in her doorway holding a hammer.
What the fuck?
He demanded money from her, and she gave him all of her bank cards and all of her cash. He threatened her, made her get in the car, and then he drove to an ATM in Munster, Indiana, so a completely different state, where he threatened her again for her PIN, and he withdrew $140 from the ATM.
Wait, they were, sorry, really
That's
quick.
Okay.
They started off in Illinois and then went to Indiana.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So he drove to a second bank in the same town of Munster, Indiana, but after not being able to withdraw any more money because she didn't have any more, he drove back to Diane's house and then demanded more money from her. And she was
Homie,
I don't have any more money.
Yeah, she gave it to you. You took it from her. That's
she
all of her
does
money.
Not have any more.
She can't give you invisible money.
My next,
there is no more.
My next note, Diane had no money left.
Yeah. Oh,
so
that's so
it's
sad,
not
though.
Funny. It's not. But just this guy's a fucking
no. But
idiot.
The fact I think this guy is stupid. Yeah. I'm laughing because this guy is an
idiot.
And
if you think
and
if
he's
you're
like,
threatening.
You don't give me any more money, so can you please make more money? Idiot.
Just
she
go
doesn't
to my
have
printer.
Any more.
No,
yeah, let me just go to my HP scanner and scan the dollar bills and print you out some more money.
Let me head to DC real quick. FBI, or who's the people that handle money? The U.S. Mint? She just calls up the Mint. Hey, I'm being robbed. Can you send me some money?
Can you guys print some money for this guy?
Seriously.
He thinks I can just pull it out of my ass.
So, yeah, so he fucking hauls back to Illinois, to her house, goes into her house, and starts demanding more money. And she's like, homie, you stole all of my money. I do not have any. And so he then forced her into the trunk with the rest of her groceries that she hadn't unloaded yet. because she got home, started unloading her groceries when she saw him.
Right.
So the groceries are still in her car, so she has to get not only in the trunk, but in the trunk with her groceries, which is probably super claustrophobic.
Yeah.
After 40 minutes of driving, they were 25 miles away in an abandoned warehouse in Burns Harbor, Indiana. Trigger warning. Blanket statement. I'm sorry. This is, like, the only real trigger warning part in the episode, and we're only in the beginning, so don't stress too much, okay?
Okay.
In the warehouse, the man forced Diane to perform oral sex on him, and then he brutally raped her in the backseat. At some point, the man also stabbed her in the left hand.
I hate this guy.
I also hate this guy. We'll see later how much of a fucking idiot he is. He's, like, real bad. I feel like a lot of the people I cover are actually stupid, but he's real, real stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So, after stabbing her in the hand, I don't know when he stabbed her. I just know that at some point that he did. But he then attempted to force Diane back into the trunk, but she fought back. And so he got real pissed, and he strangled her with his bare hands until she passed out in the parking lot. After hearing that Diane was still breathing and gasping for air, the man then doused her body in lighter fluid that he found in the car, which she probably bought while she was grocery shopping for, like, going grilling or something. Because also, she had just gone fishing with John, so I think they were planning to, like, cook the fish, so that's probably what the lighter fluid was for.
Right.
So yeah, he doused her in lighter fluid and then fucking used his lighter to set her on fire.
No!
Yeah.
What the hell, man?
It gets better, like, truly. That's pretty much all the awful shit. While Diane was unconscious, the man drove off in her car and left her to die. When she woke up, she saw that her legs were on fire. And she said to, you know, later on, that something was pushing her to get up and get going. Somehow, she was strong enough to run forward and roll around to put the fire out.
Smart. Mm-hmm. Stop, drop, and roll, baby.
Because it was raining, she was able to extinguish the flames in a nearby puddle.
Wow.
She was on fire for 5 minutes and 17 seconds.
Oh my god. That's such a long time.
That's a long fucking time to be on fire.
Yeah. That's a very long time.
No, I can't.
Was it just her legs?
No.
It was her whole body?
Her whole body.
Yeah. Wow.
That's right, just what, got, like, the first thing she saw when she woke
right,
up.
Right, right. Oh my god.
So Diane noticed a local gas station within walking distance and pressed forward towards it. And I was looking at Google Maps to try to see where the location was because there were sources that said something about a McDonald's next to the gas station. So I wanted to see on that road. And I think it was a Pilot gas station just based on Google Maps. Mm-hmm. And so she walked half a mile before someone at the McDonald's at the truck stop at Pilot called 911. And when they, you know, she was able to tell them what happened. So they told the 911 operator that there was a woman that was robbed, assaulted, and set on fire.
Mm-hmm.
When police arrived on scene, Diane was able to tell them her name. So she was still able to talk. They were shocked that she could still speak, considering her whole face was burned, blistered, and her tongue and mouth were charred.
Wow. Charred.
Yeah.
Her tongue and mouth were charred.
Yeah. And kids, not easy to set a tongue on fire. Yeah. It's wet in there.
Yeah.
It's fucking brutal, man. So, somehow or another, she's still able to communicate, and when the people who arrived on scene, they asked who did this to her, and the only thing she could say is that it was a black male. She told the police every detail, including the license plate number of her car, which the man had stolen after he set her on fire and left her to die.
Mm-hmm.
And so once this report kind of went out to, you know, once she was identified and everything, because she was able to tell them her name and whatever. So once this report went out, an officer in Lansing, Illinois, where she was from, recognized Diane's picture from her license photo and said that his daughter did dance with Diane's daughter, April.
So, oh, wow.
People knew her and loved her. And, like,
yeah,
it, you know, it kind of pushed this investigation forward, knowing that other people knew her.
Yeah.
So Diane was brought to the hospital, and while she's at the hospital, police went to Diane's home, And they found groceries in the doorway, along with a receipt from a grocery store. And that grocery store was 3 blocks away, and it was time-stamped around 11 p.m. So she got out at 10:30, went to the grocery store, only spent, what, half an hour there. So then the police went to get the footage from the store that they found the receipt from. And that was the same store that Diane called John at. And the surveillance showed that she walked in and out, no problem, without being followed. So after discovering that Diane's car had OnStar, the vehicle was able to be located in Michigan.
Wow.
So now that there's 3 states brought into this case, the FBI was brought in because it's more than just like a state issue. Another thing they were able to trace was Diane's cell phone, and it was found at the warehouse where she was assaulted and set on fire. Her cell phone pinged last at like 1:48 a.m., I believe, at the warehouse, and that's where they found it. There was even more, there was a lot of surveillance footage, which was very, very helpful in this case. So even more footage from a nearby building, like a building next to the warehouse, showed how hard Diane was fighting to survive. So that also pushed investigators even further to figure out who did this to her, because, you know, she wanted to survive so badly to get this man caught.
Right. But she's still, I mean, so far in the story, like, she's still here, you know what I mean? Like, she's still, it's not like they're investigating a homicide. It's like, she's still alive.
Right,
she's
now it's an attempted murder, yeah.
Right. So, and thank God, because that could have been the first of who knows how many killings.
Right.
You know, who knows what this guy's plans are, whatever.
This, I'm gonna say this, I don't know exactly how to word it. This guy's capable of a lot, but he's not good at doing what he's capable of.
He's a fucking idiot.
He really is. We'll just put it that way. Yeah, he's an idiot. So they followed Diane's bank records, and the bank records showed that her cards were used at 2 separate ATMs. And I think I said that earlier, where he brought her to the, he brought her to the ATM, whatever. So the first ATM where he was actually able to get money from, the surveillance camera was not working. But the second ATM, the camera was working, and it came with a very, very clear picture of him.
Oh, good.
So, the man had a black stocking over his face to try and, like, hide his identity or something, even though, I'll show you the picture. You can very clearly see his face. It didn't do shit. He also was wearing nitrile gloves to, like, keep his DNA and fingerprints off of everything, which, whatever. But, yeah, hold on, let me pull up this picture for you.
Oh. Oh, no. They're, like, sheer. Why would you use sheer?
Yeah, wait, there's another one.
Honey, no. Oh, my God. He left the house and said, yeah, this is right. Yeah, this feels right. This will do it. So no one will recognize me. So let me put some sheer-ass stockings over my head that you can see through.
At least, at the very you could have cut, like, a beanie into a ski mask.
Yeah, honestly. At you can find least. Ski masks, like, at the dollar store, too.
True.
Like, they're not, like, I don't understand. Maybe he was going for something different. Like, maybe
he's trying
to be like,
quirky.
Ski masks. Yeah, ski masks are overrated. All the guys are doing that now. Let me be bold and put a sheer stocking over my head, because I just want to show everyone that I don't care if I get caught.
When you're quirky.
When you're quirky.
I'm so. I'm not like other boys. Teehee.
Maybe I should try that. Like, oh, I just hit my mic. It's okay. Sorry. If I ever plan on robbing anything, which I don't as of right now plan on robbing
anything. You're planning on robbing my heart. Oh, wait, you already did.
Oh.
You stole my heart. Anyway.
Oh, my God. That's so cute. Yeah, well, when I stole your heart, I wore stockings over my head so you couldn't recognize
it. Made it
me.
Sexy. They were fishnets.
I take them off my head. Like, I have, like, imprinted mermaid scales all over my face.
No, you wore the fishnets with, like, the rhinestones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just for the extra sparkle.
Makes sense. Makes sense. I need to get back to this. I'm sorry. We're going to have so much to laugh at throughout the rest of this. So the photo that they took from the ATM, the one that I just showed you, it was released to the public to try to get an identification. And while trying to ID the attacker, Diane was miraculously recovering at the hospital.
Nice. Yeah, nice.
And when I tell you her injuries, it's going to be very, very shocking that she survived. So very, very small percent of people survive having over 2/3 of your body burned.
Mm-hmm.
But she had over 2/3 of her body burned and survived.
Mm-hmm.
Her daughter and John were right by her side the entire time she was in the hospital. She spent 9 months in the hospital and rehab, where she endured skin grafts, organ failures, and physical therapy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she went through a lot.
Yeah.
Not long after the photo was released to the public from the ATM, the man from the photo was identified as Carlius Clay. I keep wanting to say, like...
Not surprising that it didn't take that long.
No, I keep wanting to call him Carnelius because it's Carl, E-O-U-S.
I'm so sorry, but you hold a baby in your womb for 9 months, they come out. You name it Carlius? What's Carlius, his name again?
It's Carl, E-O-U-S. Carlius?
How do you come up with that?
Yeah, Carlius, I think.
I think, you know what also helps is that, like, that name, like, as freaking goofy as it is, like, that's a very, like, specific name. Like, that's a very, not everybody has that name, you know what I mean? So, like, if you're named Carlius and you plan on mugging someone, maybe don't use stockings as a way to try to cover up your identity.
Well, it's like, because people could see and be like, like, if his name was, like, Dan, they'd be like, oh, I think his name is Dan. I don't know his last name. But if your name is fucking Carlius, yeah, whatever it is, the police are like, oh, there's only 3 men in the country named Carlius.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so sorry if that's your name. And it's just,
if that's your name, can you please email us and let us know if you've ever mugged someone and if you were successful in using a stocking? I'm sorry. I take that back. But if that is your name, like, I genuinely am curious. And,
no,
like,
if you
please,
do, we'll
like,
send you a we will send you a virtual hug as
because
we feel bad about making fun of your name.
Yeah,
but only
but also,
if you exist.
Like, I will pay for your legal name change if you want. I'm sorry. I take that back. I'm being so mean.
We don't have enough money for that. You can donate to our Patreon at your worst nightmare. Patreon.com/yourworstnightmaretcp.
Donate to our Patreon if you want us to help every person in the world named Carlius to get a legal name change.
I'm gonna die. Okay.
We'll also pay for your therapy. I don't know what's wrong with me today. I think I caught my sister's cold and I'm just like...
Brain fog.
Brain shit. Anyway, continue with Carlius.
So, where was I? We were making fun of his name. Oh, so I just named him Clay for the rest of this because I can't go through with saying that name over and over.
Okay.
So, it's not funny, but okay. He had a criminal record and he was on parole for shooting a man in the head after a robbery. What's funny is that the man survived, and he just, this is what I mean, is he's capable of a lot, but he sucks at murdering people.
Yeah.
He's truly horrible at it.
Yeah.
It happens again later, too.
Again?
Again. Where he fails to murder someone, which is a good thing. Well, I'm glad that 3 people survived, but also, he's just horrible, and it's funny to laugh at him, because I know it's something that he's ashamed of.
If at first you don't succeed, how about we reevaluate and quit? Don't try again. Just stop it.
Yeah, so the guy that he shot in the head survived. And it turns out that Clay lived in the same neighborhood as Diane. They were basically neighbors, but they had never met.
Hold on. So this man's lived in Illinois.
Yes.
But then
in Lansing.
Drove to Indiana.
No. So Diane lived in Lansing,
which is in Indiana.
Illinois. So they both Illinois. They were in the same neighborhood in Illinois, but he drove to Indiana to do the ATM, drove back to Diane's house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's what you're saying.
Yeah. Like he drove. That's what I was saying is like he drove to, but then also he went to Michigan for some reason.
Yeah. You know, let's check US maps because I feel like it's not as far as I'm thinking.
No, like, I mean, Indiana's not that far from Illinois. I'm pretty sure it's not, at least.
I got it. I got
but,
you.
But, like, Michigan is, like, kind of a ways away from Illinois.
Yeah, if they're at the... Let's check where Lansing is. Because if they're all, like, at the... Yeah, so Lansing is, like, right outside of Indiana. It's, like, right on the border.
Right, right.
On the top.
Which, like, sure,
where
that
the Great
sense.
Lakes are.
Yeah.
So that part of Indiana and Illinois are both bordering Great Lakes. So it's really not that far of a drive. But it's far enough where the FBI had to get involved.
Yeah.
It's probably a shorter drive than my house to yours.
Okay.
I don't know why I'm like triangulating or caring about this man, but whatever. I don't even remember where I was. Oh, yeah. So he lived in the same neighborhood. They never met, blah, blah, blah. So after, you know, the car had OnStar, so they were able to track him, and he was arrested at his girlfriend's house in Holland, Michigan.
I gotcha.
So, he lives two states away, but he's still dating someone in Michigan, which, what the fuck. And so, after his arrest, Diane, you know, was still in therapy and everything during that 9 months, and she had to learn to do daily tasks all over again, such as blinking and talking. So, she couldn't even blink.
Wow.
Talking is understandable, but I never even thought that blinking would be something you'd have to relearn to do.
Yeah.
Diane can't eat, drink, walk, or take care of any basic needs without assistance. Wow. So she can't, like, drive or get in the car or stand up, pretty much anything like that. She's legally blind, in constant pain, in a wheelchair, has third-degree burns over half of her body, and has irreversible nerve damage from being stabbed in the hand.
Wow.
So her left hand, she has nerve damage. Luckily, John is the sweetest angel in the world, and he quit his job and became Diane's full-time caretaker and life partner.
Wow. That's so sweet. That's so nice. That's a freaking rock right there.
Just, I have a quote from him later. I lied, it's right now. He's such a sweetie. He said, quote, "It wasn't difficult to decide to quit my job and put my life on hold for a woman who helped me without question and was there for me always."
I'm gonna cry. That's so cute.
I feel like that says so much about both of them.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. They were made for each other. They're so, like, selfless for the other person. And, like, the way he phrased it, it's as if it wasn't even a second thought for him.
Yeah, no.
It wasn't, like, a burden to him at all. Like,
that's what he said. Like, I think there was another quote from him. He was like, it wasn't even a second thought.
I love that. I'm glad that, like, she was able to have that support.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because she has a daughter. Like, he's able to help them in a way that, like, she wouldn't have been able to help themselves, you know?
Right. Right.
I love that.
Yeah, he's an angel. So we're gonna go back to talking about Clay for a little bit, or Cornelius, or whatever the fuck his name is. I don't know. Mm-hmm. He doesn't deserve for me to
corn.
Get his... What?
I said corn.
Corn. On April 3rd, 2017, while in custody awaiting trial, so 2 years later, or a little, like a year and a half, Clay held a caseworker at the prison hostage and threatened to kill her.
What's that gonna do for you?
Right.
You're already in the slammer.
So... It's not fun. It's not funny because I feel bad for this woman. It's just he's so stupid. I'm laughing at his stupidity.
Yeah.
So he went into her office with a fake complaint about another inmate. And he went in there with the intention of giving her a note that he wrote. Before he could give her the note, she reached for the phone to call a lieutenant about the situation with the inmate.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't exist, but she didn't know that. And before she could dial, he grabbed her wrist and told her that he had a knife. So he made a little DIY project and yep, now he has a knife. So the note...
Yep, now he has a knife.
Now he has a knife. So the note reads, "Listen here, you little bitch. I have a knife."
Five-minute crafts taught me how. I'm so sorry.
Okay, I need to calm down. I'm sorry. It says, if you want to go home to... I mean, this is terrifying. Like, it's terrifying in person. It's just like, why is he like this? He goes, if you want to go home tonight, you will do what I say. If you try to push that button, I promise you that before anyone can help or anybody can help you, I will kill you. Put your hands on the desk and don't move. If you scream, I will kill you. I'm getting life in prison anyway, so I don't have anything else to lose. Please don't try me.
What is the
My intent is not to hurt you.
Okay, literally after you threaten her? Boy, little bit of mixed messages here.
Please don't try me. That kills me.
Yeah, please don't try me.
But okay, what was his intention? Because he's like, I have a knife. I'll kill you if you call someone. But like, what does he want?
Right. Aside from threatening her. He already stated, that he has life in prison. Also, I feel like the odds of him actually killing her are very slim to none. Since he's tried so many times at this point and failed.
He literally shot a guy in the head and the guy survived. And then he set a woman on fire and she survived.
Yeah.
What do you think a homemade DIY knife...
A 5 minute crafts knife's gonna do.
I hate him. I hate him.
He sounds like a dummy.
So instead of giving her the note because he got pissed that she tried to call a lieutenant, even though he's complaining to her and like she's doing her fucking job, he pushed her onto the floor and yelled, "Get on the floor or I will fucking kill you." Clay then threw her radio, like her walkie talkie thing, onto the floor so she couldn't call for help and demanded she give him her keys. While he was locking the door, because he didn't want anyone to be able to get in. So he locked the door from the inside, and the woman went and got her walkie-talkie and called for help. But Clay overheard this, and he held the knife to her throat.
Mm-hmm. That's terrifying.
Yeah. It's less funny than the note, I can tell you that much. He made her tell the other officers not to respond, and then made her get on the floor face down. So she had to radio in and be like, don't respond. He has a knife. He's going to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
So he then straddled on top of her, grabbed her by the hair, and held the knife to her throat. Outside the locked door, the other officers still showed up, and they demanded that he drop the knife. When he refused, they broke in and pepper sprayed the fuck out of him.
Mm-hmm.
As they should. And they discovered that he had hidden 3-foot-long strips of cloth to tie her up. So he had hidden strips of cloth in his socks because he was going to tie her up.
Mm-hmm.
So his trial came around in July 2018, and he pled guilty to 3 of 9 charges. So what he pled guilty to were all for Diane's case. So he pled guilty to kidnapping, attempted murder, and using fire to commit another felony.
Okay. I feel really bad for whoever his lawyer was because they had a lot to deal with to work with.
But it's funny because he claimed like a bunch of stupid shit about how he had psychotic breakdowns and there were things that weren't intentional. And the defense was like, or not the defense, sorry, the prosecutor was like, you literally had cloth in your socks to tie this woman up.
Yeah.
Don't press that, buddy. So the other 6 charges that he was facing that weren't the ones that he pled guilty to were carjacking, bank robbery, attempted bank robbery, robbery, attempted robbery, and transporting a vehicle across state lines.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, transporting a stolen vehicle across state lines.
Uh-huh.
So the robbery and attempted robbery that had nothing to do with the ATMs, that was because initially Clay went to Diane's home to rob her. He stole a bunch of shit, dropped it off at his house, and then fucking went back.
Right.
Before she even got home.
Oh, really?
Yes. This was before she even got home. And then this, on his second time there, when he went back to get more shit, is when she came home and she saw him in the doorway with the hammer.
Gotcha. At that point, why wouldn't you just, like, run away? What was the point of getting Diane and, like, going through all that mess?
He's not smart? I don't know. He's just an idiot.
Yeah, sounds like it. I don't know. The way that I think about it is like, wouldn't you do less jail time just for like attempted robbery?
Yep.
So why not just be like, oopsies, I'm running away now, I
Because he
got
thought he
caught.
could get away with it, but.
Yeah, no. Okay, if you're trying to get away with murder, maybe lighting someone on fire is not.
Also, maybe just don't murder people.
Yeah, also that. Yeah, also that.
Well, and then in court, I don't know if it was that they deemed it in court or if it was found out before the trial, but I forgot to write it down, but basically he was deemed a sociopath.
Okay, that makes sense.
So that's like a lot of like his untouchable shit goes with obviously narcissism, but that's not what it is. It's from being a sociopath. And so he
Yeah,
thought he was
gotcha.
untouchable and like shit. Like it wasn't, it's different than narcissism. Anyway, I'm not getting into that right
No,
now,
I know.
but you get what I
I
mean.
understand. Yeah.
Okay, so during trial, Diane was there, obviously, and she said to Clay, quote, "Although my life has changed and I require 24-hour assistance, you did not ruin it because I was given the best gift of all, the gift of love."
Oh my God, she's a gem.
Imagine,
She's a gem.
yeah. Imagine standing in front of someone who fucking set you on fire and saying that. And another quote she said that I forgot to write down, because obviously he like is in prison, but after his sentence, she says something along the lines of, "I forgive him, but I'm glad he's put away so he can't hurt anybody else."
Yeah. Oh my God,
How do
she
you
sounds like such a
forgive someone like
freaking
that?
wonderful person. Yeah, I could never. I am not that strong. Like, I am not that strong. I would hold my hatred for that person in my heart for the rest of my life.
So in Clay's closing argument, which I don't give a fuck, but it's hard not to laugh at this because he's so ridiculous and his sociopath really shows. Because he tried to act as if he had feelings and then he just couldn't. So he said, quote, "I don't smile when I think about what happened. It bothered me because that's not the person I am, especially when it comes to doing something to a woman. I thank God every day that Diane got up that day. I thank God that she's alive. I was scandalous toward her. I was rotten."
Yeah, no shit.
I'm sorry, you, between like kidnapping her and setting her on fire and violently raping her, you spent like 3 hours that you could have made that decision, you know, to maybe
Right.
save her life, but you didn't.
Right.
I can't. So he was sentenced to life in prison, plus 10 years for holding the caseworker hostage and you
Nice.
know, holding knife to her throat.
Yeah.
And then the last note I had is a quote from the judge, and it says, after he was sentenced, the judge said, quote, "The level of terror that Clay inflicted on these two women was just unimaginable. His actions created a ripple effect of trauma and sadness and worry and fear." And Diane and John are still together. April and her mother are still close. Like, they FaceTime every day. They did
I
before she was
love
attacked.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they still do. Her little quote, like she says all the time, she has little t-shirts that are like part of the fundraiser for her medical bills and stuff, but she loves to say love wins because she thinks that love, you know, I mean, it's true, but love pushed her to survive. And,
Yeah.
you know, John gave up his career to love her and spend his life with her and take care of her. And he doesn't even see it as a chore, or not that it should be, but he doesn't see it as a burden or, you know, as him taking care of her because she can't help herself. It's just what he feels he needs to do for her
I
because he
love
loves
that.
her.
Yeah.
And
That's wonderful.
I do want to finish that episode, but I know myself because when I watch documentaries or any like TV shows about my cases, I pause every 5 seconds just to type something into my notes. And I'm like, I can't do that to myself today. So I
Yeah.
went into the court
And
transcripts
you'll
and
also be able to like actually pay attention to it and stuff. Not that you're not paying attention to it when you do that, but like you'll be able to like actually finish watching it and just like
right.
watch it to watch it, not to like
Take notes.
analyze it and take notes on it and stuff. Yeah. I'm really glad that she's like still around and she's able to live a love-filled life, because I
Yeah.
feel like that's so important. Like, says so much about the kind of person she is and the kind of person that she's, you know, partnered with.
And there was something else that she said along the lines of, you know, "I don't consider myself a victim or a survivor. Like, I'm just living my life like everyone else." Because she's like, I can't dictate my life based on what happened to me, you know? And that just takes so much strength.
I can't even imagine going through something as traumatic as she went through and still, like, having such an optimistic and, like, positive outlook. The amount of love that she must show, like, the people around her, and it's just, like, incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I love you, Diane. You're my hero.
I love you too, Diane, if you're listening to this, even though you might not be, but that's okay. I love you forever. Yeah, I told you, this one wasn't as, I mean, it still sucked, but it wasn't, like, it was more uplifting towards the end.
Yeah.
Than yeah. The other ones that I've been doing, because I don't think I've done a Survivor tale yet, but I admire Diane with every fiber of my being, so. Yep.
Same.
Well, with that being said, am I doing the spiel or do you want to do it?
I can do it.
You can do it.
So, if you enjoy our podcast and would like to contribute in a way that would help us out financially, which we would appreciate and we love you, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/yourworstnightmareTCP. We are also on Twitter. I'm trying my best to, like, tweet things. it's been a little crazy lately, but you can find us on Twitter at NightmareTCP, at NightmareTCP. And we are also on Instagram at YourWorstNightmareTCP. And you can also send us an email, reach out if you have any listener stories that you'd mm-hmm. like us to say on the podcast, or if you just want to say hi. We love hearing from you guys.
Yes, we do.
At yourworstnightmaretcp@gmail.com.
Yes,
I'm pretty sure that is it. So thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next week.
Yes, I feel like I had something to say, but I don't remember, so it's probably not
important. I'm so sorry.
No, it's not your fault. No, I think I was just going to apologize for my lack of being on Instagram, as you were apologizing for your lack of being on Twitter, so.
We're still trying to figure out how the whole social media aspect of this works,
it's
but also we've been
I'm just depressed and I can't
busy. Well, that's okay. We don't have to have it all together all the time.
We already said our spiel, so I guess this is it. I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving. Although
if
I don't
you celebrate Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
If not, then I hope you had a good dinner.
I don't appreciate that holiday, but we won't get into that right now.
It's fine.
Okay. I'm sure everyone else
protect
is on the
indigenous
same boat.
People in their land. Oh.
Oh. Oh. I agree. I agree. Anyway, bye.
Bye.